Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and we are very fortunate to be joined by Sandra Higgins via Skype in Ireland. Sandra is a psychologist, and she is also the founder and director of the Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in Ireland, and she is also the founder and director of Go Vegan World, an education site and billboard campaign that is international, and last year it launched in Ireland, and now it is currently up in England, and we'll be hearing from Sandra all about the Go Vegan World. Thank you very much, Sandra, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene, for having me.
Yes, so I'd love to hear about the campaign and where the current billboards are up. So let's go through it one by one, because I know they're all over the place. So let's start with the one that's on the highway, M6.
That's a really good billboard because it's the biggest billboard in Europe. So it can be seen from a long distance away. It's a beautiful billboard. It's digital. So it stands out at all times of the day, and even at night it stands out really nice. And it's an extremely busy road, but there are also a lot of traffic jams. So you're getting people all the time. You're getting them when they're flying past, because they can see it from so far away. And you're also getting that dwell time for people to really think about the message.
In what part of England is that?
It's between Birmingham and Wolverhampton, about halfway. So it ran for 14 days with a different ad every day. So like the rest of the campaign, the ads focused on sentience and individuality, how other animals value their lives as much as we do, and the aspects of their lives that we can recognise. So we have this Like Us series. And then, as ever in my campaigns, a focus on eggs and dairy.
Oh, very good. I'm glad that you focus on eggs and dairy. And can you describe the billboard?
There was a different ad every day, so there were 14 different ads. They echoed the video ads in the city centre. We had ads that showed the animals enjoying their lives and that said, like us, they want to stay alive. Ads that talked about how much they value their lives, showed them enjoying their lives, and asked, would you take his life for the fleeting taste of his flesh?
For the animals' voices to be heard, we'll be listening to Will Tuttle's Animal Songs, as we heard the turkey song at the start of the show. And here's the calf song.
And then the dairy ad. Dairy takes babies from their mothers. There's an ad, they trust us, we take them from their mothers and butcher them. That's also a dairy ad, and it also links in with the leather and the skin industry. So they cover all forms of animal use. And then there's the egg ad. Vegetarianism is not enough for him. Focusing on the deaths of male chicks in the egg industry. And then there's an ad that says eating less meat is not enough for her. It shows a cow in very great distress.
That's really important, and I'm glad that you've covered all bases. And I'd love to hear more about the video ad that's in the city square.
Yeah, well, there are video ads all over the city centre. So they're in shopping centres, they're on the biggest screens, two of the biggest screens in the city centre. And then they're on digital screens right throughout what they call the loop, so right throughout the city centre. And again, they focus on other animals enjoying their lives, that they have a right to be here, they have a right to their lives, that they don't want to die.
Thank you.
ads that show how defenseless they are in comparison to us and what we do to them. How defenseless and lovely they are, and yet we choose to harm and eat them. So some of the ads show the affection between other animals and us, and the natural affinity that children have with other animals. And then there's the series, They Trust Us, We Butcher Them. Several years ago in the 1990s, when I was studying psychology, I specialised in trauma, and particularly the different effects that something called complex trauma has on us. So if somebody is abused by the person that they depend on for their life, they get a whole different complex of symptoms to somebody who, for instance, is traumatized by an act of nature, like an earthquake or, say, a car crash, or say even a once-off attack from another human. The complex of symptoms is completely different in complex post-traumatic stress disorder because of this relationship that exists between the abuser and the victim. And I noticed that when I first opened Eden in 2008, how the animals used to come to Eden very traumatized and sometimes repair that trauma and learn to trust us. And I often used to think the night that they would arrive here, how easily they could have been going to the slaughterhouse, and how they trust us and how easily we can betray that trust. And it really came home to me in 2012 when I made my film about the turkeys, and because I saw the way they used to run across the sanctuary on their arthritic feet that were so swollen and so painful, and they'd run the length of the sanctuary to hug us. And that was why I made that film, because I wanted to show the world who they are, these animals that we use. And because it's even more humbling when you know them and you see how deeply affectionate they are. But it's something that I really wanted to convey to people, because everybody thinks that they love other animals. And I wanted to show them, you know, this affectionate, trusting relationship between not just the dogs and cats and horses, but the chickens and pigs and goats and lambs that we hurt every day.
Thank you, Sandra. And could you please explain a little bit more on that as well? Because I come across this, that a lot of the local organic homesteaders are calling themselves quote-unquote humane. What is it in people that think that if they are abusing the animal, say for an example, kicking her, that that's abuse, but taking a knife across her throat and killing her is not abuse?
It's because of the way we're reared, the sociocultural environment that we grow up in that categorizes some animals as ones that we love and should never hurt, and some as animals that it's okay to use and kill, use them for their skin or in entertainment or for their flesh or their eggs or their dairy. Almost as if one set of animals can feel and the other set of animals cannot feel. And children don't begin life like that, but they grow up in a culture that teaches them. And you see, built into our legislation is the word necessary. It built into this so-called fantastic European legislation that's supposed to be the best welfare legislation in the world, is that it is wrong to inflict unnecessary pain or distress on another animal. But because we think it's necessary to use them, it's all right to inflict pain that we think is necessary. And of course, we know that we can't breed them, and we know that we can't kill them without inflicting pain on them. So somebody kicking the cow is regarded as unnecessary, but somebody cutting one of her teeth off or taking her baby from her, that's regarded as necessary. Transporting her to slaughter, cutting her neck in the slaughterhouse, that's regarded as necessary.
So it really comes down to unjust laws that were made in an imbalanced society for ages. And so, again, we come back to the importance of your Go Vegan World campaign, because the power lies within the consumer and to be educated. And so I'm really happy that you have these campaigns, these big billboard campaigns up in Birmingham. So we heard about the video ones up on the buildings as well as inside the shopping malls. And you also have them on the streets.
They're all over the public transport system as well. They're on taxis, at the railway stations. And the campaign that we ran in the bathrooms actually was very successful, because it had that high dwell time again and it targeted these two myths: the myth that it's ever humane to use another animal, and the myth that other animals are necessary. Because, you know, when we spoke to people on the streets in Birmingham and at Wolverhampton, this is rational. Veganism and animal rights is just a very rational way to think and a rational way to live. And when you talk to people, the vast majority of people agree with you. They used to think animal use was necessary, as all of us did. And once you show them the evidence that animal use is not necessary and they think about it, they realise that what they're doing is inflicting unnecessary pain and harm and injustice, and there's no need to do that, and they try to change. But the difference with this campaign is it sets the goal very high. It sets the goal at complete cessation of animal use immediately. And it does so by presenting veganism as something that's enjoyable and easy. Now, I appreciate that people have social concerns. The social concerns are probably the most difficult. They probably present the biggest block to people. But really, in this Western world, being vegan is easy, and it's time we started talking about it as being easy. It just takes a little bit of effort for us to change our habits.
Yes, and the wonderful thing with veganism is it's not even giving up anything, it's replacing.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, when I went vegan, we didn't have all the convenience items on the market that we have now. You know, my job as an educator gets easier every year because there are replacements for everything.
Thank you for that information. And that brings me back to freedom. And that's what it's all about, allowing them to be free, to respect their sovereignty. And so when I hear so many people who are resisting the vegan message.
All right, so if you've ever said, oh, these vegans are dreamers, you know? I mean, if everyone went vegan, oh, the economy would be butchered. Or if you've ever said, ah, you know, I'd love to be a vegan. Oh, I would so love it, but, you know, I couldn't give up my cheese. Couldn't give it up. No, not me. Couldn't give up my milk, not my cream.
Realize that in that decision, we're denying others the rights that we want for ourselves and our families.
And people forget that somebody told them to eat other animals, because in their right mind, no child would take a calf from their mother, because no child wants to be taken from their mother. No child would run up to a cow or a chicken and eat a piece of their flesh. They only do it because they have been told what to do. Literally and metaphorically, they've been fed other animals before they even had language. Somebody else told them what to do. But we do need to be careful in our activism that we don't give people the impression that we're telling them what to do. What I like to do is give people the information that I wish I'd had so that they can make an informed choice for themselves. And they're much more inclined to take that tone and to not feel defensive when I use that tone.
We're listening to Sandra Higgins, the founder and director of Go Vegan World, an international education site and billboard campaign. Sandra is also the founder and director of the Eden Farmed Animal Sanctuary in Ireland. After the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Sandra and hearing more details about the massive billboard campaign that's currently up in Birmingham, England.
You're in tune to WCUW 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
Hi, this is Bud Sargent. Please join me and Des McLaughlin every Saturday morning from 10 until noontime on the Four Green Fields, where we feature a wide variety of the best in Irish music.
This is Stan Sackleson from Music of the Whole Earth and In the Tradition, asking you to pledge your support for WCUW. You can pledge 508-753-2284 or donate online, wcuw.org. Without your support, we can't do it. Thanks very much.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We are joined by Sandra Higgins via Skype in Ireland. Sandra is a psychologist, and she is the founder and director of the Go Vegan World billboard campaign that's currently up in England and was previously up in Ireland. Thanks again, Sandra, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene.
Well, I'd like to continue on first with the billboards in Birmingham. They're also up in libraries and universities.
Yeah, I'm covering a lot of universities in the UK. You know, the people who are most likely to go vegan are educated young women. And England is really prime for this kind of education at the moment. I think that's why we're getting such a really positive reception and such a huge amount of interest. Like, we've had 70,000 hits on the vegan guide just since we started the campaign, only just 3 weeks ago. There's been a 360% increase in the number of vegans in the UK in the last decade.
And I'd also like to hear why you chose the Birmingham area.
Birmingham is the second biggest city after London in the UK. The campaign's been translated into European languages at the moment, but England was the obvious choice. And it began in the northeast. So this campaign, since it began, has had over 100 million views in the last 30 days. That's really big.
That's wonderful to hear. Where was it in Ireland?
It was all over Ireland. Ireland is a much easier country to cover because it's very small.
And the same thing, it was on highways, street posters, universities, bathrooms at shopping malls and service stations.
Yeah, outside a lot of food retailers, supermarkets, fast food restaurants, cafes, places where they can be seen very clearly so that they're at eye level or they're very large. And places where there's also a huge amount of traffic passing through, and also this dwell time. So, for instance, in the city centre in Birmingham, a lot of it is a pedestrian zone, and there are cafes, restaurants, and outdoor seating areas beside all the video ads.
Wonderful. And what I really like about your campaign is that it does both. One, it exposes, and then it gives the message, Go Vegan World, very clear, the action that is being called for. And then you also help people to become vegan through your website and your vegan kit, goveganworld.com. And then I also really like that you educate, because that's so necessary. And on that note, will you please give us some lesson plans, some educational information about calves in the dairy industry and what happens to them, and especially the male calves? And why I'm asking this question is, just recently in Massachusetts, there was a political campaign and a ballot question, and it was about the size of the confinement crates. And this campaign did not address veganism or the full truth of what's happening in the use of animals. So could you please give us some educational information?
You see, every animal who's bred for human use, particularly those who are bred for food, their bodies have been changed because they're selectively bred to maximize the amount of flesh or eggs or milk that we can get from them. So their bodies are greatly divorced from their natural status. All of these animals are millions of years older than humans, and they existed before we did. So the very fact that they are bred into those bodies that we have created to maximize our use of them means that even if they're reared on the so-called best conditions, they still suffer and die. Of course, at the other end of the spectrum, we can talk about how they're treated. And, you know, there lies the road of madness, probably, when you think about the horrors that we inflict on somebody who can't even turn around, or somebody who's artificially inseminated and loses her baby. I mean, the process of artificial insemination, the fact that they have to be chained, tied up in order for farmers or vets to do it, shows how painful it is. The same with the pigs. They're artificially inseminated. That's a terrible violation for both the males and the females. People forget turkeys are also artificially inseminated. I've talked before about what hens go through because they're artificially selected to lay eggs in these vast quantities. What it boils down to is the fact that we breed them for our use. And we're not entitled to do that to another life, because that life is equal to our life, and because it's wrong to use anybody else for anything. Because we regard them as our property, we're the legal owners of them. We believe that we can do what we like with them, and that they only exist insofar as they are of use to us. And it's inaccurate. It's an inaccurate view of evolution. It's an inaccurate view of how they come to be on this earth in the first place. And no amount of welfare regulation can sort this out. It's not economically viable to regulate this industry. It can't be done. Farmers could not exist if they all had humane farms, because that's not economically viable.
And Sandra, I agree with you. So why are these animal organizations spending millions of dollars and everyone's time and energy to do this when we know that it's not economically viable? So what is their point?
It ensures that the public stay asleep.
It ensures that the public stays asleep.
You know, when you examine the percentage of people whose consumer choices are ethically motivated, particularly in relation to the food they buy, the highest criteria on their list is how other animals are treated. In fact, when these statistics were collected in Ireland a few years ago, the animal that people were most concerned about were egg-laying hens in cages. And in order to soothe them and let them consume without feeling uncomfortable, we have welfare legislation. And this legislation that we have in Europe comes from the scientific evidence on animal sentience. And it says, because other animals are sentient, it's wrong to inflict unnecessary pain on them. And we have this legislation called the Five Freedoms that's supposed to look after their basic needs. But because we also have this word, it's wrong to inflict unnecessary harm on them, we find that necessary harm, in order for people to profit and in order for people to consume and use other animals, means that those five freedoms, each and every one of them, is violated in the process of breeding another animal into this life for our use and then taking their life away from them. But the very fact that the legislation exists and that it is supported by all the welfare organisations like Compassion in World Farming and the RSPCA and the ISPCA, and it gets labels like On Board Via in Ireland and the Red Tractor in England, or we get something called Outdoor Reared or Happy Eggs, means that people can consume without their conscience bothering them. So this is very carefully engineered so that animals can continue to be used. And if we fall into the trap of supporting it, which a lot of so-called animal rights activism does, then we are never going to have animal justice. We're never going to have animal justice unless we ask for people to go completely vegan. At least make the decision to go vegan. It takes a while for us to learn to read labels and to fully grasp what we've done to other animals and to fully grasp, to lose our species, how speciesist we are, to lose that speciesist thinking takes time. But to make the decision to go vegan and then follow through with it, this is what we need to do as activists. So, you know, you can get drawn into talking about how bad things are for the pigs in the sow stalls. But then we're talking about treatment. And if we talk to the public about this, what they will say is, well, I won't buy that kind of pork anymore. I'll buy the outdoor reared one. Whereas if you talk to them about the crime it is to use another animal and talk about how bad life is for them in the best of conditions, then they have no excuses. They have nowhere to go except to research veganism for themselves.
Thank you, Sandra. And could you just add one more note onto that, specifically for vegans and vegan activists? Because I found that here in Massachusetts, dozens of vegans and vegan activists were actually supporting this campaign. And what you're saying, it makes a lot of sense to me. Can you leave any message for those?
If you were to swap places with one of those animals, what would you ask for? If you've ever suffered, if you've been in pain, if you've been sick, if anyone's ever abused you, what did you want? Did you want them to hit you less hard? Did you want them to abuse you, you know, give you 2 days free of abuse a week? Or did you want to be free of pain and have your life back? Because if you wanted to be free of pain and have your life back, then you're no different from any of those animals who are being used for food or entertainment or clothing or in research. That's what they're entitled to. And on their behalf, that's what we need to ask for. We can be very respectful of people who find it difficult to get there or who are slower at getting there than we are. But that doesn't mean that we ask for less or that we are entitled on their behalf to ask for less. We need to ask for everything.
Thank you, Sandra. And on that note about being patient and understanding, and we just need to keep educating, and that's what I see as most important is to educate. And I came across another woman last week who has her PhD who did not know that dairy, milk, and all the products made from it, cheese and yogurt and ice cream, etc., is actually lactation secretions. She thought it was, like many people think, just the substance that somehow these particular bovines make. And so if you could just give a little bit more information on that, and especially in relation to the bull calves.
When I'm doing education with people, I always own my own story. But I was that woman with the PhD just a few years ago, until I visited a goat dairy. It never occurred to me that they had to be inseminated and pregnant and give birth in order to lactate and then have their babies taken away from them. So I think that's a good way to do your activism. Just tell your own story. Everybody loves to listen to a story. But it is really important that we, as activists, have our facts right. So I would say to every activist, go and read the legislation. You don't have to traumatize yourself by looking at the worst cases of abuse. Just read the standard farming practices. And in the dairy industry, as everybody knows, all of us vegans know, cows and goats and sheep used in the dairy industry are artificially inseminated in a process that first of all violates the males. Sometimes it's conducted by electric ejaculation, which is very painful. Then the process of artificial insemination is a violation and very painful for the female animals. They become pregnant. Sometimes they use these embryo implants that are so painful. They're supposed to have a full anesthetic before they implant them, but they don't do that. Any of them that are not pregnant go through the process of artificial insemination again. The gestation period in cows is the same as it is in humans. It's 9 months. At the end of the 9 months, their babies are taken from them immediately. A lot of the male calves, the lucky ones, are killed at birth. The female calves and the male calves who are allowed to stay alive are tube-fed with colostrum for the first few days. So it's abominable. It's a dreadfully lonely life. The female's bodies are burned out from metabolic stress because they're pregnant and lactating at the same time, which places a really huge stress on their bodies. And they have the same bond with their babies as we have with our babies. You know, when we use them, we take all their freedom from them.
And thanks to your campaign, Sandra, we can create a world where all are free. And will you please give us a recap of where your Go Vegan World campaign currently is?
So the current campaign is in the West Midlands area of the UK. It's on the biggest billboard in Europe on the motorway. It's on video screens throughout the city centre. It's on the public transport system, on taxis and at railway stations. And it's in the universities. And there's also a big social media campaign that most of us don't see because it targets non-vegans. So that runs all the time as well. It gets around 25 million views every month, I think.
Congratulations. That was Sandra Higgins, founder of Go Vegan World, the international billboard campaign that is currently up in England. And please join us again next week for part two of the interview with Sandra Higgins. And also a special thanks to Will Tuttle for his songs, the Calf Song, Cow Song, and Turkey Song. And also thanks to Vegan Smythe in Australia for his comedy. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.
Ooh, yeah.